Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the gathering together around your word, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We understand through faith that the words were framed by the word of God. All things were made by him, and nothing was made which was not made by him. And his name is Jesus. And his name is the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And the word was God. And the word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. Lord, we thank you, Father, Lord, our kinsman redeemer, that loveth us to the uttermost. Lord, we worship and we adore you, Lord, we thank thee, Father. As we open, only you can open this word, really, Lord. As we read this morning, Lord, let the blessedness of that word be upon us, Lord. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, be thou glorified in thy word, Lord. Even as we read this morning, bless his Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. All over the world, we know it's, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's appropriate to just speak on the same subject. So, by the grace of God, it's only the resurrection. Well, the Bible often speaks of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ as a single event. But we know, obviously in the Bible, his coming is actually a succession of events. But really, at the time, I think it's just one event. But really, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is a succession of events. For example, there is his coming, as a babe. Isaiah said it in Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 7:14 said it. A virgin shall conceive and so forth, And even the Jews missed that too. About 2 weeks ago, I was witnessing to a Jew, he couldn't see the Messiah. Then I began to show him in the scripture. Say, show me the scripture. Say, send me the scriptures. I sent him Isaiah 7:14. I sent him Isaiah 9:6. You can't miss it, if you read the Bible properly and all that, Anyway, so he came as a baby to redeem the world. Then, he's coming again, to rapture the saints. It says in many Bible passages and so forth. Then he will appear in glory again, together with the tribulation saints. And eventually, he's coming at Armageddon, where his feet shall be on the Mount of Olives at Armageddon time and so forth. So, talk about the coming of the Lord, but it's in succession, So, this morning, the same thing, resurrection, also is in succession, Likewise, like the coming of the law, the succession of resurrections and some of that, We are told in 1 Corinthians 15:22 that there are actually succession of resurrection. 15:22 of 1 Corinthians. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Verse 23 says, but every man in his own order. There is a succession to the resurrection, not just one event, In its own order, Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. So, we see the idea. But broadly looking at the Bible, it talks majorly about two resurrections. And let me jump to Revelation 20, the fifth verse. Verse 4 speaks about some resurrection. I will see that for now. But look at verse 5. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the fourth resurrection. I'm saying that broadly speaking, there are two resurrections, broadly speaking, as you see in the Bible this morning. Verse 6 says, blessed and holy is he that has part in the fourth resurrection. See? On such, the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Right there in that scripture, we see that the first resurrection is separated from the other one by 1,000 years. So two resurrections were spoken of throughout the Bible. For example, in the book of Daniel, he spoke about two resurrections too. He didn't talk about it, how long they will be apart. In Daniel 12, we're going to see in the Bible, talking about two resurrections, in general. So Daniel 2:12, two resurrections. And then many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. That's two resolutions there, right? But it didn't tell us how far those events are to each other. But we know they're not the same, they're not simultaneous, you know? So the thing to take care of this morning is this, that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, people will say it's just one coming, but a succession of coming. So also at the resurrection, so that you know. So the first resurrection will be a succession of resurrection. There will be a last resurrection, which is the last one, at the end of the white throne judgment and so on. So please think about that. The first one will be like the coming of Christ, right? In different successions. That will be the first resurrection. It's a combination of different resurrections. Then the second one will be the last one at the end of the white throne judgment. So that's in your heart now. We're going to dig into it by the grace of God this morning. So we see, so Daniel speaks to two of them, but he didn't tell us, something revealed to him or to us, what will be the space between those two resurrections that he spoke about. The Lord Jesus himself spoke of two resurrections. The resurrection of life, he said, and the resurrection of damnation, he said. John 5:28. People think that the same event. No. So let's read that. John 5:28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good into the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil into the resurrection of damnation. When you read that, the faith, you will think that they are the same event. No, but according to the Bible, other Bible, but you know, passages and so on, they are different events. Now, the Lord refers to the fourth resurrection in another place as the resurrection of the just. That is in Luke 14:13. But when thou makest a feast, the Lord said, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. That's the first resurrection, part of the just, and something that you know. So, right, there are two of them, the just and the unrighteous, and so on. But the first resurrection is a resurrection of resurrections, you know. So, as we see here, so when the Sadducees, these are the sects in the Bible who deny that there is any resurrection at all, and they confronted the Lord, and they were asking the talk of this man who died, and then according to the Jewish law and so on, he had no children, and then his brother took the wife and couldn't raise children, and also the seventh one. Rabbi, in the resurrection, start to mock the Lord. Whose wife will they be? Well, the Lord said, you err, not knowing the scriptures anyway. But the point is this. So, so the Lord now told them, you know, in Luke 20, 35 verse, and the Lord said, the Lord mentioned the fourth resurrection as including those who shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead. So now, all that I have spoken so far, they are due to the fourth resurrection as that of the righteous. And at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first resurrection is not a single event, but follows an order of events as I will now, by God's grace, narrate. So what I'll be talking about now at the first resurrection, they are all just one called first resurrection. So let's go with the first one is, of course, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord himself is the resurrection and the life. Anyway, in John 11:25, Matthew says, oh Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died, right? So anyway, in John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then he asked Martha that question. Believe it already? You know? So anyway, so the Lord himself, not only resurrected, but is the resurrection and the life, either, you know? And he foretold this many, many places in the Bible before he even died. In John 2:19. And they are asking, what sign do you show unto us and so on? That, you know, show us a sign. He has just turned water into wine. So they said, show us a sign. What sign do you want? In John 2:19, the Lord said, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I, Jesus, will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 40 and 60 years, was this temple in building, and will thou raise it up in 3 days? Bible says, but he speak of the temple of his body. So if, apart from the Old Testament prophecies, he himself prophesied of his death and resurrection, that he himself will raise it up. Now, the Lord revealed that he had the power both to lay down his life and to take it again. That's in John 10:17. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I, look at that word, I everywhere, right? That I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. Don't think the Roman did anything to him. Yeah, they might have been an instrument for crucifying him, but he laid his life down anyway, from me. But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. We remember in the Bible, the Garden of Gethsemane, where they want to betray him and so on, where they came and so forth. Who took it? And he was talking to them, and they all fell as dead, right? He laid down his life of his own self, that he may take it up again. Now, he told them, we see that, let's talk about the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15:20, I just see all those things to show his deity, it's the resurrection and the life. And he say, put out this temple, I, Jesus, will raise it up. And they say, I have power to lay down my life and take it up again. So, just to exhort him that his deity is God, immortal in the flesh. Anyway, so 1 Corinthians 15:20. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the fourth fruits of them that slept. So, Revelation 14 speaks of some 144,000 that were seen with Christ. John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos saw this vision and so on, talking about this thing to us and so on. With Christ on heavenly Mount Zion as being redeemed among men and being first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. That's Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 and 4 says so. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Then Revelation 14 that I read to you, 144,000. So we see that Christ is then the first, if you will, of the first fruits. You can say that. But he is not all of the first fruits from what I read in Revelation chapter 14, So now, let's talk about the resurrection first, because that is the first one, right? Without his own rising from the dead, no other one can rise from the dead, right? It's the resurrection and the life. Praise the Lord. Now, events at the death of Christ. Look into the spiritual world. What happened in those 3 days when he died? What was going on in the spiritual world? Well, let's talk about it. Forsaking of God at death. The lost spirit, like that of a lost soul, descended to Hades. When he died, his spirit descended down to Hades. That's what happened there. Why in there, in the compartment of the unrighteous, in Hades, the Lord preached to the spirit in prison. Can you imagine? That is 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirit in prison. Talking about the spiritual world now, what happened in those 3 days that it was, at the heart of the earth, spirit in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when was the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. We are given more information in the same book of 1 Peter chapter 4, the sixth verse. For this cause was the gospel preached unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. So what happened in the spiritual world in those 3 days? We went to preach to them. We went to Hades and preach to them right there. So when the Lord finished preaching to them, to those spirits and so forth in prison, they could not hold him at all. Because why? While they were there, the Lord seized the keys of death and Hades. And they can never, they told us later in the book of Revelation, while they were there, he got the keys of Hades and of Hell. See the keys from the Lucifer and some of that, you know. Therefore, he could tell us in Revelation 1, verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of hell and of death. In those 3 days, he got those keys back from Satan and some of that, you know. And seizing the keys of death and Hades meant that he could go from one compartment of Hades to the other, something that has never been done before until that time. We know in the what he told us in Luke chapter 16 of the rich man and Lazarus, what happened at death, right? So I'm saying that nobody that can go between those two compartments, only the Lord Jesus could do it, and something that you know, God is kids and something that you know. So that's why, you know, he told Abraham, Abraham was saying that he told the rich man at death in Luke 16:26, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which you pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they to us that will come from hence. We are saying that nobody could cross between those two places before the Lord wrote for the dead, only the Lord Jesus himself and some of that, you know. So we see that there. So the Lord could commune with the righteous. He could go over into the compartment of the unrighteous. He did. Because we were told, he preached to them there. We are the rich man, and we call it dives in some places and so on. And so on. The Lord was stronger than the devil anyway, who until that time had the power of death. Until that time, Lucifer had the power of death, right? And as we are told in Hebrews 2:14, you know, talking about what happened in the spiritual world in those 3 days. Hebrews 2:14 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, meaning the Lord himself, also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So spiritual world in those 3 days, what was going on, so that you know. Hades could not hold the Lord down. Why? Because he was and he is the Prince of Life, as the scripture declared by the mouth of Apostle Peter on the occasion of the healing of the cripple at the beautiful gate. He is the Prince of Life, right? So death could not hold him. We can quickly turn to that in Acts 3, 13th verse. He is the Prince of Life, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But he denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, that's where I'm going, and whom God hath raised from the dead. So he is the Prince of Life. Death could not hold him down there. Therefore Christ ascended from the grave, the resurrection and so forth. And we remember that in the Bible, the women that took the sweet spices that they might anoint him on the third day, of his death, were told by the angel of the Lord in Matthew 28 verse 5. The angel told the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come and see the place where the Lord is. They just called him Lord, right? So, you see, he foretold all the while. He told the Jews, tear down this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up. He foretold it all over the place and so on. And the angel said, as he told you before, and so that, you know. So, of his ascension From the grave, we are told in Ephesians 4, the 8th through the 10th verse, wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Talking about the events that happened during those 3 days and so that, you know. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended forth into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. Scripture says. So, that he led captivity captive means what? It means that he took the captives who were in the righteous compartment of Hades and ascended up with them. That all took place. Events, spiritual events, in those 3 days and something that you know. Prior to his resurrection, the abode of the righteous dead was always down, just beside the Hades, there beside the unrighteous one. And like I said before, in Luke 16, so they were side by side and so forth, that you know, there's a great gulf between them. But when he rose from the dead, he took those righteous people up and some of that, you know. So, we can understand and that the righteous apartment was also down, you know, down before he rose from the dead. Papa Jacob said this in Genesis 37 verse 35, you know, talking about when they reported to him that, oh, Joseph had been killed by wild animals and something like that, you know. Then he said this in Genesis 37 verse 35, for I will go down into the grave unto my son, money. So his son Joseph, his spirit was down in Hades, right? He had to go down because Christ had been risen from the dead, right? So all the righteous before Christ rose from the dead, they were down there, you know, below in, you know, in the Hades. That's a compartment between the righteous and the wicked. Like we are told in Luke 16, right? Jacob said, I will go down to his son, where he was at the compartment of the righteous in Hades, right? So we know that. So anyway, so we see right there. Because paradise was down at that time, Christ went down to the heart of the earth, as he himself foretold. He went to the heart of the earth, right to the belly of the earth. In Matthew 12, 40, they are asking again, what sign will you show unto us? I will show you evil and adulterous generation. No sign will be shown unto you. Say the sign of Jonah. Now, in Matthew 12, 40, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the waste belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The Lord said, they went around there and there. So when he ascended up on high and led captivity captive, he took paradise off with him. And this is confirmed by Apostle Paul's visit to paradise. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one caught off to the third heaven. Show you where paradise is right now. After the Lord rose from the dead, to the third heaven. Verse 4 says, how that he was caught up into paradise and had unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for man to utter. So that confirms to us where paradise is, what Christ did, you know, when he rose from the dead, to the righteous with him, and paradise to the third heaven, in the immediate presence of God, you know. So those Christians or those believers who sleep in Christ no longer go down like Jacob did to Hades, no more. Not since Christ rose from the dead, because paradise is no longer down, you know, is up now at the immediate presence of God. And this itself is a fulfillment of the Lord's declaration in response to Peter's great confession. Who the men say I am? Well, some say you are Elijah, some say you are John the Baptist raising from the dead, but what do you say that who I am? Then Peter made that great confession, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and some of that, you know. And here is what the Lord said to him in verse 17 of Matthew 16, you know. So he says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon bar Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18 says, and I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, And upon this rock, I will build my church. And I have led all those to come to this club. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Meaning that the gates of Hades will not prevail against the righteous. After all, the Lord took the righteous out of there on the below, took it up, and brought that up to fulfilling the Lord's word idea, you know. Now, so we cannot say, Apostle Paul can now say in Philippians 1:23, you know, that everything is now up, right? No longer down, right? It's now up. That's what paradise is, right? Now, Philippians 1:23, for I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. To be with Christ, if a person is on, was Christ down? No, Christ is up, right? So paradise is up, that in the immediate presence of God. Another proof that we are saints go today, when they pass on to glory and so forth. One more scripture, that 2 Corinthians 5:6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. In other words, when we are absent from the body, we are in the presence of the Lord. The Lord is not in Hades. Hades is not in down anymore. You see, it's up there. So we see right there how the Lord took paradise, you know, with him at his resurrection. Now, that is just a certain part about the resurrection of the Lord. We are breaking down the fourth resurrection into a succession of resurrection, just like his first coming, a succession of comings, right? So now, the next resurrection we have here, the resurrection of the first fruit of the Old Testament sin. They are all combined together to be what is called the fourth resurrection in the Bible. So, the resurrection of the first fruits of the Old Testament is spoken of, is said to be taking place immediately after Christ's resurrection. That Matthew 27 verse 50 says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he led up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the gates were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and come out of the grave after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So here we are told that at the moment of Christ, when the Lord died, there was a great earthquake, the Bible says, for it to have occurred right at the time, at that time, it means it has a supernatural origin, not a regular earthquake. This is a supernatural one that occurred at that time. So great an earthquake and so on. It rent the veil of the temple from the top to the bottom. That in itself is supernatural, right? That's all that, you know, praise the Lord. You see? So now, it opened the grave of many of the saints of God. These graves in those days, but even now, they are hollowed into rocks, you know, and then when they will dig a rock, that's a grave, right? And they put a slab of stone around it. The earthquake was so great, and that he just shattered and removed those stones. Those come out from the grave and something like that, you know. But nothing happened for 3 whole days. That happened when he died, right? 3 whole days, the grave were opened, yes, but nothing happened until after his resurrection. Then certain of the Old Testament saints rose, Bible says, unto their feet, and they went to Jerusalem, appear unto many, the Bible says, you know, and some of that, you know. So events at the rising of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so obviously, this was the resurrection of the first fruit of the Old Testament sins. This first fruit because not all the Old Testament sins rose from the dead, right? But with many of them. So they are the first fruit resurrection of the Old Testament sins, you know. And even that event in itself is yet a fulfillment of yet another prophecy. Isaiah prophesied of Christ in 26th chapter of Isaiah verse 19. The dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. See? Awake and think. Ye that dwell in the dust. For the dew is at the dew of herbs. And the heart shall cast out the dead. So Isaiah prophesied that when Christ rose from the dead, after of the same, we also rise on the day after his resurrection. Is everything about him is prophecy. So him bear witness, all the prophets and so on. the day of resurrection, he met two disciples on the way to Emmaus. Cleopas is one of them. The other one, the Bible didn't give us his name. And they were talking about the events, how the women went to the sepulchre and saw the angel that we talked about earlier in the service and something like that, you know. And what kind of, he attached to them and disgraced himself. What kind of conversation are you asking among yourself and so on? Oh, don't you know what has happened? What happened? They relate the issue and so on. Oh, fool, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, right? All Christ must have suffered all these things and to have written for the dead the third day and so on. Bible says, and beginning from Moses, throughout all the prophets, he expanded unto them in all the scripture pertaining unto himself, you know, to all the things, his prophecy and so on, the testimony of Jesus. Anyway, so we are told that we are not told which Old Testament saints wrote, but Bible says many of them. But we can be sure, we can name some of them. Some of them, like Noah, Bible calls it the picture of righteousness, right? Like Abraham, Joseph, Joshua, Samuel, Daniel, Job, and so on, that you know. Job himself spoke of resurrection, right? I know that my Redeemer lives and so on. In the last days and so on. You see, I will see him. Though the worm, this my body ate, he said and so on, yet in my body will I see him and so on, that you know. So I won't be surprised that he was there in that false foot resurrection of the Old Testament and so on. Yet the Bible didn't name them. Just looking at the scripture and see who could have qualified with that one there. Now, I want to read something to you, that happened. There is some writing we call the apocryphal writing. There are some writings that people thought should have made it into part of the scriptures, but they were not accepted to be part of the scripture. I want to read one of them that spoke about the events I just read in the Bible now, and I read verbatim. So they call it the allegory of Beelzebub at the death of Christ. So this same event around in the Bible, we have an apocryphal writing about it and so on. Now I read certain New Testament apocrypha contains a story that read like this. Now listen, as one of the recorded miracles which took place at the crucifixion of Christ was that many of the saints that were dead arose and appeared in the city. There were some who were known to the high priest, and so the high priest took two of these men into the temple and examined them concerning their presence and wanted them to describe what took place in the region of death when Christ was crucified. So they proceeded to describe as best as they could. In the region of death, it was already known that Christ was likely to be crucified and be brought to this region. There was great rejoicing among the saints. Isaiah said, "Did I not say so? Did I not prophesy so?" asked Zechariah. They were all being reminded about these things, and the rejoicing among them was going on. Presently, Beelzebub, who is the keeper of the region of death, and all the regions of darkness, came to the scene. Shortly, Satan appeared and announced to Beelzebub to prepare that Jesus was about to be crucified. A conversation arose between Beelzebub, the keeper, and Satan. Beelzebub said to him, "Satan, is not this the Jesus of Nazareth, who in his divine nature was so strong that he came here and forcibly took Lazarus when he was here, and we could not hold him?" Satan answered, "Yes, that is the same Jesus." Then Beelzebub said, "If his divine nature was so strong that he forcibly took Lazarus and we could not hold him, how shall we hold him?" That seemed a new suggestion to the mind of the evil one. He had never before thought of such a thing as that. And the question What shall we do with him? Was asked. Beelzebub said, keep him out. Keep him out, he said. But a Christ appeared and break down the gates. And came in, not a captive, but as a victor. He took the old saints with him to his own glory. He is the triumphant Christ. So Beelzebub ended this conversation with these words. Satan, behold, all things which thou hast gained through the forbidden tree, thou hast lost through the work of the cross. End of quote. Praise the Lord. What I say to that is this. The Bible, at one time they told the Lord, oh, certain men are casting out devils in your name. Well, the Lord said, forbid them not, right? That is in Luke 9:40. He that is not against us is with us. See? So that's in apocryphal writing. And they never get to the Bible, but look at what happened. We don't know, but just because it's just in line a little bit with the Bible and so on. I just want to read that and so on. So that what happened, the false fruit resurrection, Christ resurrection, followed by the false fruit resurrection of the Old Testament. Next one. All these are part of the false resurrection that I'm doing right now. The next one will be the, it's not the fusion now, will be the false fruit resurrection of the New Testament things. It's the next one in line, which we are waiting for right now. As there was a false fruit resurrection of Old Testament sins, the Bible says there will be a first fruit resurrection of the New Testament sins, which we call the rapture, right? We can read a couple of scriptures on that, which we all know, but today's resurrection day, let's read it. Revelation 14, we are told, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. Having his father's name written in their foreheads. Verse 4 says, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. So when we are using the first fruits, that word, we are using the Bible language, right? So they are false fruit because they are ripening false, right? Anyway, so now the 144,000 of Mount Zion are of the false fruit unto God. The Bible says, and they will be with Christ and follow him throughout eternity as one of the highest orders in heaven. We have said here many times that being virgins has nothing to do with the married life whatsoever. The Bible says marriage is honorable, right? And the bed is on the vine, book of Hebrews, right? And so he's talking about the church, you know, and so on. Those Nazarenes, the New Testament Nazarenes, separated unto God. Nothing to do with idols and so on that, you know. Anyway, so we see that there. So, and so they are, however, this 144, they are not all of the false fruits. Anyway, how do we know that? Because we know that before them, Apostle John was there. The four and the 20 elders were there, and they were not part of the 144,000. Who will say that Apostle John will not be in the first fruits? You see what I'm saying? So the 144,000, yes, they are part of the bride and so on, but they're not all of the first fruits, as far as we can see from the other Bible verses, right? And it's a fallacy to say that only 144,000 will be in the rapture. That's an error, isn't it, from Bible account, right? So let us just say that because there is a sect out there, the bride. This 144,000 things and so on that, you know. So anyway, so we see. So the first fruit of the New Testament is the rapture, you know, of the saints and so on. Now, so of this rapture, this first fruit of this resurrection, we see in Thessalonians the first one, verse chapter 4, verse 16, or first Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise forth. See? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We can get many other scriptures. Revelation 4:1, I won't go to that one, you know, I told you that, you know, about the rapture, the first fruit, rapture and resurrection of the New Testament saints, you know, it's right there. So the Christ first, then the first fruit of the Old Testament saints, resurrection. All these are part of the first resurrection. All of these ones are some of that, you know. So now we are talking about the first fruit resurrection of the New Testament saints. Now, next one. Talk about the tribulation harvest, the tribulation saints rapture. Now, upon the opening of the fifth seal, the martyred souls are seen under the altar and are not yet resurrected at that time. That is, we can see in Revelation 6 verse 9. And when he had opened this, we're talking about the different segments of the resurrection that constitutes the fourth resurrection, you know. Now, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So that's what that verse says. But after the sixth seal, what happened? There is a great multitude, no man can number, standing before the throne. That is in Revelation 7:9, talking about the tribulation, resurrection, and some of that, you know. Let's read that. Revelation 7:9. So this will be, as I'm going to see them, it's both Jews and all over the world, they are tribulation saints. Not only the Jews, but in that chapter, 144,000, a different group are saved, right? But in this resurrection, this is tribulation saints and so on. Verse 9 of Revelation 7. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, there you go, not only the Jews, of all nations, and kindred, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. Verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence come they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which come out of great tribulation. You can't miss it, you know. So not only the Jews, even the people who miss the rapture, the first fruit resurrection and rapture of the, you know, of the New Testament, so they're in the tribulation, right? So, great tribulation. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So we see right there. Now, there must be, now, of this group, there must be the same one that the Bible says they were ripped from the earth by the Son of Man. In Revelation 14, the same one. Let's go to Revelation 14, verse 14. These are the same one that the Bible says the Son of Man ripped, like ripping something, you know. The first fruit has gone up, so this is a ripping now, 14 Revelation. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Verse 15. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in that sickle, you see, and reap. For the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Talking about the tribulation harvest, right? You know, of resurrection and something like that, you know. So the tribulation says, who made up this group or this harvest group are seen again, standing before the throne of God in Revelation chapter 15 verse 2. The same group. So I read that also. 15:2 of Revelation. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast. Here you go, over the beast, and over its image, and over its mark. You see, tribulation saints, right? So it's right there, you know. When you get the image, when you get the mark, you need the tribulation, right? You know, and it's marked. And they are over the number of his name. There you go. Stand in the sea of glass, having the harp of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, we see again, in Revelation 20, this same group, where they are said to have passed in the fourth resurrection. You see, that same group, Revelation 20 now. So I'm saying that all this combined together to form the fourth resurrection, right? 20 of Revelation verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which have not worshipped the beast. Here you go. See, the tribulation says, right? You know, and neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Now watch verse 5. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Now it says this is the fourth resurrection. So even if that's called the first resurrection, right? All of them together from the New Testament, first fruit to this point, they are part of the first resurrection. Just like the coming of Christ is often spoken of as one, but it's actually as three. We know three of them, right? The same thing, the resurrection of the righteous people and so on, that you know. Though it's called them the first resurrection, they are different events, as different and so on, that you know. Anyway, now, another resurrection is this, the two witnesses of Revelation 11. The resurrection of the two witnesses who were slain by the beast is recorded in Revelation 11:11-12. And being raised to life, they ascended to heaven. Verse 7 of Revelation 11. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war with them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. Verse 11. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood up, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. The same voice that called the bride in Revelation 4:1, right? Come up hither. The same voice. The same Lord Jesus. The resurrection and the life, right? He is the one, you know, saying, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. And their enemies beheld them. So that's another resurrection. They are all part of the first resurrection. All of this one, they are all part of the first resurrection, you know. Now, the Bible says something here that we're not very clear about this one, but in Revelation chapter 16, is that a gleaning resurrection? You know, after the harvest, there usually is a gleaning, right? So the Lord's warning in Revelation 16:15 might have referred to something of this nature. We're not sure about this one really, but let me read it and so on. What is it? Verse 15 of Revelation 16. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that washeth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. Now, this may concern only the remnant of those who will live in the millennium. We don't know. So anyway, Bible did not tell us specifically, enlighten us about this. Just leave it like that and so on, like that, you know. Now, another resurrection is coming. I want to know, in the millennium, another one will happen. So we know in the millennium, the lifespan during that time will be lengthened to that of the antediluvian days. You know, in the antediluvian days, they live so long, hundreds of years, right? The oldest man, Methuselah, 969 years, we know that, you know. So in the millennium, the lifespan will be expanded again because Christ is reigning, right? So we are told in Isaiah 65, and let's read it to see that lifespan was expanded in the millennium when Christ is reigning here. There shall be no more infant of days, nor an old man that has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. Verse 22. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, My elect, he says, my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. By the way, this may be a type of millennium, but all the promises of God in Christ Jesus, they are yea and they are amen, to the glory of God. You can send that promise for today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, anyway, so since the resurrection, since even the righteous die during the millennium, there has to be a resurrection for them too, right? There has to be, you know. So they may live long, but they still die, right? Say that we die 100 years, all right? So if they die, there must be a resurrection for them too. So we know that. So there must be a special resurrection for the righteous who died during the millennium. So now I put a note here. All the resurrection that take place before the millennium are part of the fourth resurrection. That's why Revelation 25 says so. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the fourth resurrection. So, which I read before. So, you see, so I will just kind of begin to just talk from here. So, again, the summary was that now, you know, there are two major resurrections, the fourth resurrection encompass all that has happened and during the millennium. Then the second one will be the final one after the white throne judgment, you know, the resurrection of the wicked at that time and so on. The law mentioned it in John chapter 5 and so on. Resurrection of damnation, right, to come. So anyway, so in finishing this morning, so let's just read some of our redemptive blessings. You know, we can go on by the resurrection. So in the mind of God, you and I as Christians, we are crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, Paul was saying of him, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. See? And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That should be true for all Christians, right? You know, now, more of these blessings and so forth. We are buried with Christ, see, in the mind of God. Buried with Colossians 2:12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also we are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who raised him from the dead. See your position as a Christian, something like that, you know. Romans 6:4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Praise the Lord. You know, I remember when I had water baptism, as I was coming out of that river, and so that, you know, that picture came to my mind. I felt like I've been fasting for 40 days. I just felt so light. Just, I can't describe the experience. Just so wonderful and so on that, you know. So, praise God. Anyway, now, we are quickened with Christ. Talking of his resurrection, right? All the benefits. We can't even remember all the benefits of his resurrection. Colossians 2:13 says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together, made alive with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, but even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ, and has raised us up together. Where are you now? Mystery of mysteries. And has raised us up together. Together with Christ. See? And has, verse 6 says, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He says so, and so that, you know. Now, in Romans 8:11, as I wrap up here this morning, you know, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Powerful scripture, right? He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. I remember an incident when I was in the campus one time. One brother was sick like unto death. We had to carry him and so on. Then I just quote that scripture. Brother, the spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwelleth in you is quickening your mortal body right now. And the brother just got stronger, you know, got stronger and so on. You know, so praise the Lord. See? The same spirit that raised up the law from the dead, dwelling in you and I, quickening our bodies and so forth. Now, you are justified by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ in Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses. He committed no sin. Can any of you convict me of sin? Not even the Pharisee could say anything that he did wrong, or the Sadducee. Can any of you commit me of sin? Bible says he was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised for our justification. That's our justification. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30 says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. I always have to expand on the word justify. As far as God is concerned, I mean, you never committed anything as a Christian. Or if you commit one, you repent. And that's it, as far as God is concerned, you know. So it's about, we never did it and something like that, you know. Now, lastly here, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. See in Romans 8:16, the last scripture, or one, last but one scripture. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, meaning all that God has belongs to you and I. Amen. He wrapped it up in 1 Corinthians 3:21. For all things are yours. Amen. Yes, sir. We have to claim it. We have to claim it. Yeah? All things are mine. All things are yours in Christ. Praise the Lord. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, all made possible. He was delivered for our offenses. He was delivered for our justification. There's no more condemnation for us and something like that, you know. Just reach all out and claim that we belong to us in Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for all you have done for us, Lord. He that knew no sin was made sin for us, that we now are being made in him the righteousness of God. God himself is a righteous. The Bible says he has been made unto us wisdom, has been made unto us righteousness, made unto us sanctification, and made unto us redemption. We are very thankful and we are very grateful, Lord. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, help us not to remain as children forever, I mean as babes forever. The Bible says the child doesn't know, like a servant doesn't know what belongs to him, all of it. Help us to grow up, O Lord, in knowledge, in you know, of what we are and who we are in Christ. And they hold and claim them in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, living a triumphant life for the Lord Jesus Christ, reigning in life, in Romans chapter 5, reigning in this life in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are all in the realm of possibilities, you know, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, again, we pray for not only ourselves, you know, for the rest of the world today, Lord God Almighty, that those who don't know the implication or even why this event, the thing they are celebrating, know what is meant to them, that many eyes will have been opened today through witnessing however it came to them. And thank God the gospel is going through, is going on all over the world. Global communication is going on. Individual witnessing is going on. We know before long, Matthew 24:14 will be fulfilled. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all nations for a witness, and there shall be end come. So Lord, we thank you, Father. We worship you, we glorify your name. We commit our will to your hand, Lord, as we go this morning, Lord. So we go, O Lord God, as more than conquerors. See what you have wrought for us. You know, we are raised up together with you. We are made together with you in heavenly places. And Lord of God, and you are in us, and we are in you. Go forth as more than conquerors here this morning. Lord, glorify your name, Lord. Lord, testify of what you have done in our life to whosoever will listen to us in the name of the Lord. Father, bless the work of our hands, that we may have favor before men. O Lord God, shall have favor before you, Lord. Lord, Bible says that commit thy works unto the Lord. Bible says, through your thoughts shall be established. Commit our works to your hand this morning.